What do we have that we didn't get from the Lord? I hate to begin by disagreeing with your pastor, but I have to do that. He says he's honored to have me here, and I'm sure we're more honored to be here. We really are. Lois and I are very grateful. Thank you. So kind of you to go to the expense and the trouble to bring us here and let us be a part of your celebration. That's very humbling to us. And we're very grateful to be here. And thank you for letting us be a part of this. Pastor Nathaniel, I have a brother whose name is Nathan, too. And Charles Elijah, I have a son named Charles. That's my name. James, you can pray for me any old time you want to. You got preached to already, and so it's just been a thrill to be here. And we have eaten well. And some of you, if you've been on that, yeah. And you and so, you know, I've eaten well all my life. I wasn't always sure I would eat well because I'm a pastor's kid and we never really had too much to work with. A lot of times it was just week, it was always just week to week. I remember when I was a little boy, we went to town one day. It's a big deal to go to town. We would dress up to go to town. We were not allowed to go into town without dressing up. Mom and Dad would say, we're all going to go to town and dress up. What are we going to do? Go grocery shopping. That's what we would do. So we dressed up to go grocery shopping. So we went into Belle Fountain, Ohio to go grocery shopping one night in the spring. And we bought groceries and we put them out in the trunk of the car. And we weren't allowed to ask for a lot of stuff. We just kind of walk along and enjoy, you know, Mom and Dad were going to get what they were going to get anyway. Whatever went with whatever hamburger thing they were making, you know. Put it in the trunk. And I remember that as I was driving home that night, I was in the back seat with my sister Melanie. She's over there. My little brother Kevin is about 5 years old. Sitting between us. My mom and dad are in front. And there was a sense of well-being in the car because we had food in the trunk, you know. And my mom, I can just tell my mom was happy and my dad was happy and they're grateful to the Lord for what he'd given to us. My dad pastored this little tiny church in a little place called Logansville, Ohio. And so we're just driving along and there's a sense of happiness. And my mom said, I'm so grateful to the Lord that he's given us what we need. And my dad said, me too. And my mom says, we have food for every day this week. And my dad said, well, praise the Lord for that. My mom says, and we have meat for every one of those meals except for one. And we sort of felt like we needed meat for every meal, you know. And so my dad, he goes, well, you know, I tell you what, we pray. You never know. God will probably provide. And you know what he had in mind probably was in his pastoral calling, he would probably call on somebody who would say, oh, pastor, here, come here. Let's open up the freezer and give him a cut of meat or something and take it home or a pound of hamburger. But what happened was that God had a unique way of providing. I'm not joking. You think I'm making a story up. This is the truth. A rabbit ran out in front of the car and my dad hit the rabbit. And my dad goes, now my dad's an old rabbit hunter, so he understood about this. He goes, you know what, I think we didn't kill it, I think we grazed it. And he stopped the car, he backed up, and I can see it like it was last night. Shot lights shining down into the ditch, and my dad getting out and reaching down and pulling up this rabbit, and the rabbit was still kicking a little bit. My dad goes, whack, gives a karate chop, kills the rabbit, and he goes over there, and he opens the trunk of the car and puts it in with the rest of the groceries. And I was looking at my sister like, I'm going to eat that. My dad gets in the car. Well, praise the Lord. You know, he provided for us. And he said, I'm not kidding. We used to hunt rabbit when I was a boy. That'll be good meat. We'll make a stew tomorrow and we can have rabbit stew. And he took that home and tacked it up in the basement and cleaned that rabbit. And the next day we're looking in the pot. Sure enough, potatoes, carrots, little rabbit right in there. Like Peter Rabbit right there in his stew. And I was looking at that. I look at my sister. I think, yeah, I'm not going to eat the rabbit. You know, I'm going to eat the potatoes and the carrots now. So about a week later, we're in the car, and we're driving through this little town called DeGraff, Ohio. My dad and my mom are in the front seat. I'm in the back seat. My sister Melody's over there. My little brother Kevin's 5 years old. He's sitting between us. A cat runs out in front of our car, and my dad hit the cat. I was like, that dad goes, uh-oh, I think I killed somebody's cat. And my little brother says, that's going to taste terrible. But you see, when my dad got out and he looked at the cat, the tires had ruined all the good meat, so he didn't eat the cat. And that part's not true. I'm just kidding. But so aren't you glad that you didn't have to have rabbit or cat today? This is a very special day. We've eaten real well, and I'm excited about being here for a lot of reasons. One of is because I really believe in churches. I do believe in churches. I believe in big churches, and I like big churches. They're kind of fun. They're exciting. People streaming in. But my experience has been in all little churches. The biggest church I ever was involved in was 400. That seemed really big to me. And I know that we see churches today that are thousands of people. But most churches in America, the Church of Jesus Christ, Christ in America today rest on the back of little tiny local churches everywhere, people doing their job for Jesus Christ. And so there really is no such a thing as an insignificant church. In Kentucky, there's a little church, and there was a pastor a few years ago that looked out across the creek into a little shack of a house, really, a little tiny house across the creek, and the town drunk lived there with his wife and kids. He was an embarrassment in this little town. He never went to church. His wife, every once in a while, would dress the girls and the boys up. One time, she's dressing them all up for church, got them all dressed up in their hat and white gloves and everything, and the oldest boy knocked the little girl into the wash tub, and so they didn't get to go to church that day. The pastor at Christmas time looked out across the creek and he said to his boy, "We got extra Christmas treats left over, and I want you to take them over there to that poor family that lives across the creek." And so the pastor's son took those Christmas treats over, knocked on the door, and that put a warm feeling in the heart of the little girl who later on, when they moved to Ypsilanti, Michigan, she looked for a church like that. That's where she met Jesus Christ, and that little girl grew up to be my wife. So you see, I'm real grateful for any little old church that goes over and loves the kids of the guy who's the town drunk and cares about them. Churches can be very powerful. The Ark of Salvation. What a wonderful name for a church. Especially in days when a flood of iniquity is going across our land and how we need arks of salvation, of safety. And when I read your history to realize that the original vision was to take little ones in two by two, it reminded me of a little girl I once heard about whose name was Jane. Little Jane, her parents were divorced. Her mom had taken up with another man. She hurt in her heart. And she would go down and she would swing. She would lean her little stomach over a swing. And she would swing and she would remember songs and stories. One day she looked down the street there. It was in Niles, Michigan. She looked down the street and she noticed there was a big tent set up down the street. And she thought, what's that, a circus affair? What's going on? She walked down the street. And what it was that the Bertrand Bible Church was having vacation Bible school. And when she looked at this tent, she said, what's going to happen here? They said, you got to come down here tomorrow. There are going to be songs and stories and treats, and you ought to come and you can bring your whole family. So this little girl, Jane, took her little sister. The two of them went two by two to the vacation Bible school where they heard the name of Jesus for the first time and immediately received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They went home and began to work on Mom, Charlotte. Charlotte moved to a place called Dowagiac, Michigan, moved into an apartment. Downstairs was an old woman who was a praying woman, Mrs. Rice. Mrs. Rice prayed for Charlotte and for Jane and for Sue and for Larry, this broken family that lived in that apartment building. She had in her Bible a prayer list with their names. And when she died, Charlotte went to her funeral, and the pastor said, if you knew Mrs. Rice, you knew there was something different about her life. And today I'm going to explain to you what was different about Mrs. Rice's life. And the pastor gave the gospel. And that lady had something happen in her heart. Charlotte thought in her heart, you know, I need what Mrs. Rice had. She came to know Jesus Christ. And you and I know it doesn't always happen this way, but Charlotte and her husband got back together, and they stayed together for the rest of their life. And that little girl, Jane, that girl is my mother. So you got to understand, Charlotte was my grandmother. Bud Shipley was my grandfather. Jesus Christ changed our lives because of little churches being faithful with the very powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you just love that we have powerful things in our hands when we're dealing in local churches and the law of God and the gospel of God and good works and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have some very, very powerful life-changing tools in our hands. And they don't, you know, our churches don't have to impress people because it's not really being impressive people or being impressive churches that really impact people's lives. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have that power. In the Bible, the scriptures say there that the Old Testament law, like Moses had the law, and there was a glory in the law. The law was a light. It was like you knew something about God when you just knew the law. But the Bible also says there in 1 Corinthians, but when the gospel comes, it's infinitely more glorious than the law. The law is good. The gospel is even better. The law tells you something about God. The gospel tells you even more about God. It's a glory. That's the big light word in the Bible. And the Bible says then in the fourth chapter, 1 Corinthians or 2nd, I never can remember which. Look them both up. They're both great books. But anyway, it says in the fourth chapter, it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Yeah. Meaning, we have the treasure of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our old clay pots that God gave to us. I'm nobody, but I can give my feet to Him. I'm nobody, but I can give my mind to Him. I'm nobody, but I can give my tongue to Him. And when I do that, that, the gospel is a very powerful force in the lives of people. God can change people's lives. You know, there should be no glory that goes to me about losing 105 pounds because it was like an alcoholic that God gave freedom to. That's what happened. I cried out in desperation to God, oh God, forgive me and help me. I'm in bondage to this. God, deliver me from that. Just like you hear people, now God can do that. If he can do that with me, then he can do other things with other people. God is very powerful. We have these powerful things. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. And here's my text for our little talk here. I want you to hear this because it's a picture of what church ought to look like. And I have a theory that churches are either powerful or they're petty and pitiful. You know, the churches can't, let's be honest.